Tony, we can't get fooled again.
Oof. Hounds of heaven. Jesus loves you and is there for you. Welcome into the David L. Gray Show, Off Coat and Unscripted. Pleasure to have you here. Thanks for tuning in this Monday. As always, I'm just happy that you allowed me to come into your life at this moment. Got two things for you today. First, we have the reflection on the readings at Mass today. And then it's going to be a commentary on the ongoing attacks on the Catholic Church. Got an exciting week for you this way. Some shows this week. So, of course, Monday and Thursday monologues. You'll have me with you. And then on Tuesday this week, I'll have Father Jeffrey Kirby. He wrote a new book called Sanctify Them in Truth. Sanctify Them in Truth. So he'll be on tomorrow, on the morrow, talking about his new book. So that's going to be cool. And then on Wednesday, I have Brendan O'Connell III. He has a really interesting YouTube channel. So he'll be on talking about what he's talking about. So that's going to be really good. Really good, really good, really good. So, yeah, exciting week for this week. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Thank you for all the Patreons, everyone who went over to Patreon and signed up. Got some new Patreons over the weekend. So I got to update the streamer here. But, everyone who's went over to Patreon.com, support the channel at $10 level. Remember, you get books. My book, The Catholic Catechism on Freemasonry, you get that for free. You get audiobooks, and you get access to the master classes I teach. So I have one that's out already on this 16-lecture course on Freemasonry. So that's out. Then I got another one coming out this summer on the Mass. So the master classes keep coming, so I appreciate that. And for everyone who's, got some new merch. It's not new. It's actually been there for a while. I think this is my first time wearing it on the show. So you heard the phrase, got milk. You heard got milk? Got Mary. Got Mary. Got to get Mary, right? If you got milk, got to get Mary. Mary's more important. So got that. Also got Jesus. So if you're interested in the merch, it's below if you're on the YouTube. Or if you're not, just go to David L. Gray.info. Click on the merch thing and get your Got Mary merch. Got Mary. It's a question, right? It's an opportunity for evangelization. People will see you like, got Mary. What does that mean, right? So do you know? Do you know the Mother Jesus, right? Do you have a relationship with her? So yeah, got to get that. What else is going on? I think that's about it. Oh, they got Mary. It's not just t-shirts. Also, it's hoodies. It's tank tops. Even get like a workout gear. You're in the gym. Get your Got Mary in the gym. Talk to people in the gym about the Blessed Mother Mary. So yeah, get your Got Mary. So I think that's it for now. So yeah, as always, I appreciate you guys' prayers, likes, shares, subs. Oh yeah, the whole pre-recorded show thing really didn't last that long. Remember, I started that last week. Like, I'm going to start doing pre-records because, you know, YouTube, they prefer uploads. I think that's true. But what I found out after like a week of doing that is that I just don't have time to pre-record because it takes time. It takes an hour or so to record a show. Then you have to download it and edit it. That takes, another hour, maybe 30 minutes. Then you got to upload it another 30 minutes, then it's just so much, right? And I don't have, so that's really adding, so the pre-record process, maybe adding on an extra hour, maybe 90 minutes on each day. And I just don't have that time. So we're back to the live. I like the live. You never know what I'm going to say. Never know what you're going to say with your comments. So, so that's cool. So we're back to that. So, hey, let's get into the, readings for today. Let's do that. So the readings at Mass today, the first one comes from Acts, is chapter 11, verses 1 through 8. And so this is a dialogue primarily about Peter and Paul, about their call to minister to the Gentiles, to bring the Gentiles into the church. So, and then from the psalm today, the response is, a thirst is my soul for the living God. A thirst is my soul for the living God. That's from Psalm 42. That's just beautiful. And then a gospel reading, which goes together with the first reading, you know, as lectionary should, is from John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. And at Mass yesterday for Good Shepherd Sunday, we had heard from John chapter 10, verses 27 through 20. So this whole chapter is really the Good Shepherd chapter. Jesus talking about how he's the shepherd. And so that goes together with the first reading because, well, we know that the sheepfold is a lot bigger than one had thought it might have been back then. So it's not just the Jews. It was everyone. It was all people. It was those outside of the Jewish community as well, the Gentiles, as they called them. So a couple of things are going on here in the gospel reading that John is doing. Because, you know, John is always wants to reconcile his gospel with Genesis and with the prophets, with Abraham, with Moses. And so that's going on in the first instance with Jesus being the shepherd. Because Moses was shepherd. Moses was a natural shepherd of sheep for his father-in-law, Jethro's flock for 40 years, right? And then he went on there, he graduated, he matriculated into be, it's kind of like the apostles being natural fishers for fish, to being fishers of people. Moses, a shepherd of sheep, now I'm being a shepherd of God's people. Is that matriculation there? But now Jesus is the shepherd, so he's greater than Moses. So he's Moses par excellence. So he's the shepherd of God's people. And the second thing John is doing here that's important is that not only he's reconciling the image, the motif of a shepherd, right, in the image of Moses, but also the Jewish understanding that God is shepherd, right? The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I shall want. So he is the shepherd of God's people. So Jesus comes in his Father's name. He is in the Father is in him. So he is the shepherd, right? So it reconciles that. And then the third thing that John does at the end of his gospel is that, so as Jesus is God, he is the shepherd. There is a powerful image that comes to take place when Jesus, he calls Peter into being the shepherd of his people as well, a type of hireling. So these are God's flock. These are his sheep. As John says, no one can take them out of his hand. But Peter is brought into to be the shepherd. They're not Peter's sheep. So Peter's not God. But he's brought in as a hireling to be shepherd in God's place. So the sheep do not belong to Peter. But this is the confession. Jesus asks him, you know, do you love me? And he's asking, I know you've heard this hundreds of times from your parish priest, right? The word here for love is agape. Jesus is asking, you know, do you agape me three times and two times? And then Peter responds two times, yes, I phileo you, which means I love you in a brotherly way, right? So Jesus asking, do you love me in a divine way? Peter responds, yes, I love you in a brotherly way. And the last time Jesus asking, well, do you phileo me? Peter says, yes, I phileo you. So, But each time there's a confession always comes with a responsibility. If you tell someone you love them, well, you should look like it. Your life should reflect that. So every time we confess something, there's an action, there's a response, there's a duty assigned to it. So in this confession of Peter, yes, I phileo you. I love you in a brotherly way. Jesus says, well, shepherd my sheep, pasture my sheep, tend to my sheep. Every time Peter confesses, I love you, there's a duty attached. So that's what's going on here. But more deeply is that he's being called into being a shepherd of God's people. So that's the motif that John is connecting here. One, again, that Jesus is the fulfillment of Moses, that he is God. And two, and three, he'll connect it later on. Again, his gospel always reconciles itself that Peter is now carrying on that shepherd and his successors carrying on that duty. And in fact, that's one of the three duties that the popes have. So when we look at the scriptures, we see the duties of the pope, right? The pope does have a job description. It's clearly laid out in the scripture. That's one, to be shepherd. The other one is to proclaim the truth of God. And that is from another confession that Peter made when Peter confesses, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God," right? Okay, that's the confession. The duty attached to it, right? Well, you are Peter, right? And to you, I give the keys, and the gates of hell won't prevail against on you. I establish my church, right? Confession, duty. So that's another duty of the Pope, to be proclaim the truth of God, proclaim the gospel. The third duty of the Pope, which is the last duty, is not a confession that Peter made about Jesus, but a confession that Jesus made about Peter. He tells Peter, I pray, this is when, you know, Peter's confessing that I'll be with you. And Jesus says, you know, no, you're going to abandon me. You're going to turn against me. And the cock crows, when the cock crows three times, you'll know this. But he then affirms Peter. He says that, I'm praying for you that your strength may not fail. And when you turn back, you are to strengthen your brothers. So this is the confession that Jesus made about Peter. And so the duty attached to that is that, well, the Pope is to strengthen his brothers, his bishops, be a source of unity for the church, right? So this is the clear job description laid out in the scripture, proclaim the word of God, be shepherd, be a source of unity. It is simple as that. And that's a little reflection on the readings at Mass today. So what do we do with this, though? How do we manage this? How do we consider this for the rest of our day until we come back at night and we get on our knees and we contemplate, reflect on our day? Well, it goes back really to the acknowledgement, right? To live our life as if the Lord is our shepherd and there's nothing that we shall want, right? So that's one. Do we trust him? Is he shepherd? Or are we shepherding ourselves? Or are we letting government shepherd us? Are we letting other people shepherd us? You know, who do we place our trust in? And the other thing is, as Catholics, we do acknowledge that the Pope is our shepherd. We also acknowledge that over the past 2,000 years, we've had some horrendous shepherds. we have some shepherds, you know, wanted to lead us to hell, right? But it's always acknowledgement of the Catholic, and it's our confession that the Pope is the successor of Peter and he is the shepherd. So it's something that we believe. It's something that we don't always have to, it's something that we do recognize sometimes, the failings of human leadership, right? That the Pope's not doing his job, so to speak. But it's something that we always have to confess that, yes, the Pope is the successor of Peter and he is shepherd, regardless of the fact whether he's doing a bad job or not. He is shepherd. So that's where we're at. So right after, I'm going to play a quick commercial here. And then right after that, we'll get into what's going on with these attacks on the Catholic Church. So let me do this. Welcome to the history of the search for God. I'm excited about this 6-week summer school course I'll be offering in my Dominican Way homeschool program, and it will only be offered from June 1st through July 31st. This course is from my humanities catalog, and it will engage the students in humanity search for the answer to the primordial questions. In this summary course, we will be studying answers to worship, totem worship, natural worship, Confucianism, Taoism, Buddhism, Hinduism, Jainism, Sikhism, Judaism, Catholicism, Islam, Protestantism, and the pseudo religions such as the modern cults, Freemasonry, Communism, and Marxism. This is not a comparative religion course because there's nothing to compare to the fullness of the truth. Rather, we will study the hope of the non-Catholic religions and how the good thing that they hope to find has been resolved in Christ and His Church, the Catholic Church.
This pre-recorded course will be accessible for the self-guided Dominican Way and the instructor-led Dominican Way homeschool programs. For the Dominican Way homeschool students that are being instructor-led by me, this summer course will include 3 live oral exams, 2 quizzes, and 1 1,500-word essay, and all requirements will have to be completed by August 31st. Registration opens June 1st and closes July 15th. If you have any questions, please reach out to me, and I hope to see you in class soon. Thank you.
All right. That was my commercial. What do you guys think? Yeah, so if you do have a homeschool student, even if you don't like a homeschool parent, but you just have a student that's in public school and you want them to get some religious education over the summer, that's a course that I'll be offering over the summer, History of Search for God. And then in the fall, we'll pick up 2 more courses. I think there's going to be a course on the introductory of Catholic theology and a class on the prophets. So even if you don't just have, even if you're not homeschooling, you're not a homeschool parent, but just, you know, you your child needs some better religious education. Yeah, go to my website, David L. Gray, sign up. So over the weekend, you know, there was some big news coming out about, you know, Catholics, you know, we need to be on a higher alert for protesters this weekend. And, you know, I was at Mass in St. Louis over the weekend. I was at this parish we go to sometimes. And, you know, we were sitting in the back because, you know, we had to get out of there, go to Mother's Day brunch, right? Sometimes we don't know how long this Mass goes on. So sometimes I get into announcements like, what's going on? Everything. So, yeah, we were sitting in the back. But as we were sitting in the back, every time the door opened, you know, I'm on high alert. My head is on swivel, right? Every time I heard a noise. So I was ready, but turned out to be like largely a dud for the most part. It wasn't significant at all. There was some noise in some places. There were even some abortion kill centers that were attacked. So that was going on, but largely a dud. But it turned out to be that the real threat, the real attack on the Catholic Church is still coming from within. And it's sad. It's tragic. So we heard Saturday that Pope Francis has went on another attack, right, against the traditional Latin Mass. Another attack, talking more trash, speaking negatively and causing more division in the church with his hyperbolic and his incendiary language against the traditional Latin Mass, stirring up division again, right? And largely when he came out with his motu proprio, was that last year, you know, he's opining in there about people who, you know, cling to the old Mass and things like this, and use that as an opportunity to rail against the papacy, to deny Peter and all this stuff like that, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, we should admit that there is a segment in the church that does that, but they're largely, they're Sedevacantists. You know, they're hardly Catholics. They're Protestants, largely Sedevacantists. And so, but yeah, there are even within some of the traditional sets in the Catholic Church, yes, you have Catholics who would say, yeah, you only have to go to a traditional Latin Mass, that they would call the Novus Ordo invalid, the new Mass invalid, and they'll use language like that. So yes, there were people in the Catholic Church who were being divisive, but that was such a small subset. It wasn't even real, right? That there wasn't like this big population of people that were doing this, right? So largely the people who were going to the traditional Latin Mass and still going, there were people who, that was just their liturgical preference. But here's Pope Francis, right? In this in his general audience the other day that we see here. And this is from a report from ABC. And I'll just read the quotes here because there is some commentary in here. But this is from Pope Francis on Saturday, this past Saturday. You know, they start off saying, blast the Catholics who are hewing to the old school versions of the liturgy like the Latin Mass and have made an ideological battleground of the issue, decrying what he described as devil-inspired divisiveness in the church. So he's calling those who prefer the traditional liturgy as being influenced by the devil. And we'll get to some quotes here by Francis himself. Right? So in this first one, he says, I underline again that liturgical life and a study of it must lead to greater ecclesial unity, not division. When liturgical life is a bit of a banner for division, there is an odor of the devil being inside there, the deceiver. But again, we have to ask, like, who's really causing the division? I mean, who's really causing the division? Is it the Pope or is it the people, right? Or is it both, right? Let's not have like a false economy. Again, I think people would largely say that when people who are going to the traditional Latin Mass, they weren't doing that for division. These are people who just wanted serious worship by serious priests. That's it. Serious worship by serious priests. They looked at what was going on over the past 40 years, 50 years with the Novus Ordo, and it was not serious worship by serious priests. And so because they cared for their soul, because they cared for their salvation, they chose something serious. And that was not division, right? Rather, they were responding to those who were stirring the division with demonic liturgies. And if you don't know what I mean by demonic liturgies, just go to my playlist, Catholic Mass Nightmares, and look at all the examples of people making a mockery of the Mass. And by making a mockery of the Mass, making a mockery of God. But Pope Francis says it's not possible to render worship to God and at the same time make a battleground of the liturgy for questions that are not essential. But the people who had chosen the traditional Latin Mass, for them, it was the most essential thing. Like, how do I get to heaven? What path has the church afforded me to get to heaven? And the answer was the Mass. And so that was a serious question. How do I protect my salvation? How do I guard the salvation of my family? That was the essential question. And the answer to that was the traditional Latin Mass, or at least a very reverent Novus Ordo Mass. Again, serious worship, a serious Mass, a serious liturgy by serious priests that in some dioceses you just cannot get. Right. Another quote from Pope Francis from his general audience from Saturday. This is the drama we are living in ecclesial groups which are moving away from the church, putting in question, right? The authority of bishops and of the church. But again, I think this is just a false understanding. I really don't know who's like educating the Pope on this issue. I don't know what synod, right, has really discussed, really dig into to find an answer to this question. Why do people choose something other than the Novus Ordo, right? And they would say they're not moving away from the church. No one who goes to the traditional Latin Mass says, oh, I'm moving away from the church. No, further, they're moving into the church because, again, it's serious worship by serious people. It's the liturgy that's been around since had been the liturgy of the church for, 700 years. But for as far as the local Roman Rite, had been around much longer with, various with various amendments to it. So I think Pope Francis is just flatly wrong about why do people, why are they moving away, or why why do people choose a traditional Latin mass? It's not because they're being divisive, right? They're really this quite the opposite. They're pursuing unity with Christ in his church. And Mary McIntyre said, yeah, I mean, you have to wonder why the Latin rite is so threatening to Francis, right? It goes back to this, I think this, whoever's been informing him. I mean, he's not out here, right? He's not out here. I really don't think he's talking to any traditional Latin mass people, right? So, but whoever's informing him, whether it's America's Pope, Supich, or whoever's informing him, right? About what's going on. I think that's the problem. But what the traditional Latin mass people who go to the traditional Latin mass, I mean, what they're moving away from, it's just crap like this.
You didn't bring your gloves? Yeah, I got a better grip now. I might need it. Okay. All right. Okay, on the count of three, one, three. Okay. All right. Whew. Okay, grab a seat.
I mean, if that was your liturgy, if that was your mass that you had to endure on Sundays, why wouldn't you go find something serious? That's not serious worship. That's not a serious priest. That's not what the people are due. That's an injustice. What the people are due during the liturgy, right? The principal purpose of the mass is to divinize us. That's it. It's not to entertain us. It's not to give us a great homily. It's not to have great music. Those things are fine, right? But it's not the principal purpose of the liturgy. The principal purpose of the liturgy is to divinize us. That's it, right? And that's what people deserve. They don't deserve the children's liturgies. They don't deserve these theme liturgies, these gay masses. They don't deserve people adding to and taking away what's in red and black. No, they don't deserve the distractions. They deserve the principal purpose of the liturgy, which is to divinize them. So they aren't the ones stirring up the division, Pope Francis. The people from the traditional Latin mass crowd, whatever, even the people who are going to the Eastern rites, we're not the ones stirring up the division. The division is coming from the priest and these ministers of the liturgy who are bringing this just unseriousness to worship. The people deserve worship. That's their due. That's justice. But this is what you have. And then you have like Father Steve with the tug of war mass, right? And you guys know how this happens. So we had that Catholic mass nightmare showing Father Steve at St. Dominic's Parish in Saginaw. And you know how this works, right? So we do a Catholic mass nightmare. And then all of a sudden I start getting emails from either parishioners or from people who know what's going on there, because we're not there, right? But we start hearing from people who know a little bit more about that parish than we do, right? And they start giving me some inside information. Sometimes I share it like we did with that church down there in Fort Myers with John Paul the 23rd, right? We had to do another whole show on that one. All right, so this is how this works. People contact me, right, back channel and say, hey, that's not even a half of it. So again, the divisiveness. So Father Steve over there at St. Dominic's in Saginaw, a person who has been in touch with me over the years, is actually in that diocese. And they decided, like, hey, they said, David, that's not even a half. You know, I think the email actually started off with, hey, I saw you found out about the red bag. Right. So I didn't even know when we were in St. Dominic's in Saginaw and we saw Father Steve pull out the red bag. We just thought maybe that was a one-off, but it was my mistake. I hadn't looked closely enough at all the videos they have on our YouTube channel. But apparently Father Steve pulling out the red bag is a thing. This is what he does. And from my sources told me, he's been doing this for the past 25 years. This has been his thing, pulling out the red bag. And as you see it in the on the screen here, if you're watching online, I mean the video version, you see there's a screenshot here of a bulletin from the Mass, dated 3/27/2022. And up in the corner, there's the red bag, right? That's his thing. And so, and I offer this just to show you that the attack on the divisiveness is not coming solely from, or I would say largely from, the people who prefer the traditional Latin Mass. Rather, it's those people who, the same people who want to force us to get a mask, a vaccine, or force us to wear a mask, the same people who want to force us to do things that aren't good for us, are the same people who want to force us to go to a mass that is not serious, that doesn't really contribute in the greatest way to our divinization. So here's what Father Steve says, the red bag man. He says, for 2 years now, the Diocese of Saginaw has had a Latin Mass celebrated each week at Holy Family. It was meant to be celebrated once a month, but grew to every week. The legitimacy of that rite, right? Which is a word we need to really discuss, was put into question when Pope Francis came out last summer with a pronouncement limiting the traditional Mass. The legitimacy of the rite was never in question. You can't undo, what was it, Paul the Sixth? You can't undo what? You can't call into question the local Roman rite, which became the Mass of the church. It was never a question of legitimacy. To say that Mass is illegitimate is to call into question the sainthood of nearly, all of the saints, or a large number, maybe, 80% of the saints in the church who that was their Mass. So I don't know what Red Bag Father is saying here. But he says, Pope Francis came out last summer with a pronouncement limiting the use of the traditional Latin Mass. Francis wrote in a document explaining his motivations for the new law is to doubt the Holy Spirit himself who guides the Holy Church, and associating only the old rite with what traditionalists often call the true church led only to division. Again, the phrase the true church, like who really says that aside from Set of Acontis, right? You may have some traditional Latin Catholics say, oh, this is the true Mass, right? All right. We shouldn't use language like that because, first of all, it's stupid. It's very Western in a sense that I say, or American, I would say that for most of the world and for most of the history of the church, liturgy was a much more diverse subject, right? There wasn't just two masses, okay? Every town had a mass, every religious order, nearly every religious order had a mass. So liturgy used to be a much bigger thing, and there's still many liturgical rites work. But yeah, you do have some ignorant people who don't know anything, who create this false dichotomy between there being two masses, a new one and an old one. So, and so, yes, some of them do say the true church, but I would largely like to believe that most Catholics aren't stupid and they weren't using language like that. So Francis has argued that those traditionalists had essentially taken advantage of the kindness of his predecessors. So this is Red Bag Father writing here in his op-ed in the Mass's bulletin for this week, for that week in March. And says he continues, the 16th century Tridentine Mass was replaced after the Second Vatican Council with a new standard Mass we are familiar with. It was never replaced. We can't say it's replaced, no more than when the Mass of Trent, the Tridentine Mass came. It didn't replace, we would say, all the masses that were going on at the time. Rather, it just became the new standard. And that's why it's called the new Mass, is the Novus Ordo. It became the new Mass. It didn't replace anything, so to speak, because you can't do away with a Mass that's ordered by the church, right? And that is allowed to continue, right? So people continue to celebrate the traditional Mass, especially religious order. So it didn't replace it. It just became the new Mass of the church. It became a new standard. Nevertheless, he continues, some traditionalists insisted on celebrating it and rejected the new version as a corruption. In 1983, Pope Paul II sought to heal it with a rift of with a schismatic traditionalist movement. He's talking about the Society of St. Paul the 10th, asking bishops to grant the request of the faithful who wished to use the old Latin Mass. But Francis said some traditionalists exploited that decision to effectively create a parallel liturgical universe. So it became a multiverse, according to Red Bag Father. Benedict clearly put his weight and that of the whole church on the side of the old rite in 2007 when he increased access to the traditional Latin Mass. He argued that the two forms, old and new, would enrich one another, which I think was right, because that's been the history of the church, having a diversity of liturgies and allowing the faithful to choose their preference. Which Mass contributes more to your salvation? Go find that Mass. This has not happened, according to Red Bag Father. In fact, asking the traditional Latin Mass, adding traditional Latin Mass, has only caused more division in the church. Pope Francis has declared the traditional, the Tridentine Rite cannot be celebrated in a parish church like Holy Family. Again, he's attacking, right? He's stirring up division in his own diocese by saying what Holy Family wants to do, they can't do. No, we're forcing you to wear a mask. We're forcing you to get a vaccine. We're forcing you to go to a Mass that does not contribute to your salvation, that's not serious, that has tug-of-war games. The Saginaw Latin Mass Association has hired a canon lawyer to see if they can get a special permission to continue this rite. They would need both the permission of Pope Francis and the local bishop. We shall see what happens as the diocese continues to study this issue. So that's from Red Bag Father Steve in Saginaw, who not only... See, and the amazing thing, right, is that the people who the Pope Francis is saying, oh, the traditional Latin Mass people are stirring the division. But then you have these people from the Mass Nightmare crowd, these flaggers, and all these people we've looked at in the Mass Nightmares. The ones who are the same ones who say that the traditional Latin Mass is the problem, when in fact, they're the problem. Now, if you don't believe me, right? So here's Father Redback Steve, Redback Father Steve, who's saying that traditional Latin Mass is the problem. But if we take a closer look at the type of liturgy this guy is offering, we've seen the tug of war. How about this? Okay, power. I didn't go looking for this. I didn't go looking for this, right? Again, people who know Red Bag Father, right? In his hatred for the traditional Latin Mass, they send me stuff like this. They know Red Bag Father Steve, who himself is stirring up all types of division in the Diocese of Saginaw. But most of all, the division that he's stirring up is leading people to hell with these trash liturgies that do not contribute to people's salvation. He's up here again with his red bags about to do something you've never seen before in the Mass, yet the traditional Latin Mass is the problem.
Your hair don't move, okay? Let's get this out of the way. Okay. All right. Wanna know what's in the big bag? Wanna change your mind? Okay, you'll be fine, trust me. Okay, here we go. It's gonna be fine. Okay. You will love this, okay? Everybody's going to be so envious that, yep. Okay. Are you ready? Okay. 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 Remember moops and the moors? That's the bubble.
Here again is Red Bag Father treating the mass in his homily as if everyone there is his audience and he's the entertainer. This is not a serious priest. This is not a serious man. And this is not a serious liturgy. And everyone deserves better. Everyone deserves better than this. The traditional Latin Mass, Pope Francis, is not the problem. The Novus Ordo, fine. Let's keep it. We recognize that all liturgies stay with us, right? But the Novus Ordo needs serious reform. Serious reform. It needs a return to the altar rails, a return to ad orientem, a return to all heads being bowed at the name of Jesus. And it needs a commitment and reinforcement to not allow priests to do or say anything that's not in red or black. Otherwise, this is the type of crap we get.
Boy, episode, okay. Today you're gonna be the bubble boy, okay? Again, from Red Bag Father Steve, using his opportunity of a homily, which the church teaches in the General Instruction Missal, is to intend to expound upon our readings and to lead us into the deepest mystery, right, the Holy Eucharist. It's not an opportunity to turn worship into a stage play. It's not an opportunity to turn the people there who have come to worship into your audience, right? It's not an opportunity to be able to, if a person who's good with words can create an image with words, that's what words are for. You can, if you use words well, you can create an image. And you can even create an image such as what we saw here. Let's call this mass, let's call this homily. Let's call it a mass together, the Bubba Boy Mass. You don't need to spend 30 minutes blowing up a bubble, putting a boy in it
to explain the purpose of confirmation, of being sealed with the Holy Spirit. You don't need to do that. If you know how to use words, and Red Bag Father should, since he has at least 2 degrees, he should be able to use words well enough to create an image in people's head, rather than turning the mass into an audience. That's not what people deserve. That's not serious worship, and that's not a serious priest. And the people deserve better than that. But there seems to be, according to what we've been looking at in our Mass Nightmare series, there seems to be, I would say, more priests who offer this type of irreverent liturgy than there probably are people in a traditional Latin Mass saying that people who are going to the Novus Ordo are going to hell, or that the Novus Ordo doesn't contribute to anyone's salvation, or that Pope Francis isn't a true pope. There's more people, there seems to be more priests who are offering irreverent liturgies like this that are people who are causing the so-called division that Pope Francis is trying to tell us is the biggest problem in the church today. So I say this, that the whole abortion protesting thing over the weekend was a dud. It was a dud. It's going to continue to happen. It's always happened from before the Protestants were attacking the Catholic Church and destroying icons and this desecrating the Holy Eucharist, and after Protestantism up until today, people are always going to attack the Catholic Church. People are always going to spray paint blasphemy on our doors and things like that. That's always going to continue because Jesus said that they'll hate us because they hated him first. So the Catholic Church will always be a target because we have Christ Jesus. So that's going to continue. But that's not the attack that I think we have to be concerned about. The attack we have to be concerned about is attack that's coming from within. And that's always been the most detrimental attack of the Catholic Church. The most dangerous heresy we ever faced was Arianism from inside the church. And then Protestantism inside the church. Every heresy in between inside the church. James Martin today and his crowd and Brian Massengill trying to change what the church teaches about the human person, the our ontological and anthropological nature, like who we are as people. We're male and female. But the Brian Massengill and the James Martin types want to tell us that there's a different people called the LGBTQ, and they want to change what the church teaches about homosexual acts being intrinsically evil inside the church. The most dangerous people are not those who are knocking at our doors, coming in with signs, wanting to march around. They're obnoxious. I say drop kick them if they enter. Be Peter who pulled out a sword. Don't kill him, but cut off an ear. But get them out of the church. But they aren't the greatest threat. They aren't the greatest danger. The greatest danger to the Catholic Church are people who within, those teaching heresy and those who are offering liturgies, they're not contributing to anyone's salvation. They're the problem. And we need to remember that and recognize that. People like Joe Biden, yeah, fake enemies. Nancy Pelosi, fake enemies. Every other politician on both sides of the aisle, oftentimes fake, even though they call themselves Catholic. But a greater danger are the people who do come up and propose to receive Holy Communion, who are in a state of grave sin, and then turn around when it changed what the Catholic Church teaches. The greatest danger is inside, not without. It always has been. It's always been the weeds. It's always been the weeds. And we have to remember that. So I think that's all I know about that. I got kind of hyphy today because it makes me angry. It really does. These irreverent liturgies and these people stirring up the division and saying that they're not the source of the division. Why is it always people who stirred up the most division are actually the source of the division, right? The people who are saying, oh, those people are being divisive, they're actually the ones that's most divisive. Even if we go back to Joe Biden himself, right? He came in and said, oh, the country's divided. I came to heal the country. He's caused the most division of any president probably in the history of this country. It's always these people, time after time. Red Bag Father Steve, the Latin Mass is calling division in Saginaw, offers a liturgy that's sending people to hell, contributing to no one's salvation. It's always that crowd. Always that crowd. By the way, if I was a prisoner and I want to see that Father Steve spending parish funds on res bags, ropes, leaf jumpers, giant bubble balls, says I have to leave. Father Steve has the most diverse bug out bag you've ever seen. He has everything you need to kidnap a person and do strange things. The things that come out of Father Steve's red bag should concern everyone. Should concern everyone. It just comes off as he comes off as a creeper, right? And I don't scare easy, right? If you ever see me in person, I'm sure you would say David Gray doesn't come off as some sort of girly boy, right? No, I don't scare easy, right? Been in a lot of fights in my life, physical fights. Don't scare easy. But Father Steve concerns me. Right? If I saw Father Steve with his little red bag in a dark alley, no, I'm turning around, go the other way. And that's not the story of my life. The story of my life, I oftentimes been a guy who saw people walking in the alley and I walked in their direction just to see what was up. So Father Steve would concern me, him and his red bag, very concerned, because I just don't know. I don't know what's in there. Mary says, how is something like this representative of Christ's sacrifice on a cross? And this is what we tend to find in the mass nightmares, right? We find that priests tend to point to themselves rather than the cross, right? Oh, look at me and what I'm doing. Look how clever I am. Let's not look at Jesus, right? So the best homily always has a priest with a finger out pointing to the cross. All right. That's always the best homily, either with his words or with his actions, pointing us to the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's always the best homily, always at all times. Stage left. Hey, amen, David. This is not a place to be an entertainer. No reverence at all. No. And I always say in the mass nightmares that these priests know in their hearts, in their minds, that the Novus Ordo just has some natural deficiencies. And we know that just because we know what liturgy looks like. We know what good liturgy looks like. We've seen it. We've seen a divine liturgy at St. John Chrysostom. St. Gregory and Nyssa. We've seen a divine liturgy. We've seen the Ambrosian Rite. We've seen the Mass of Toledo. We've seen good liturgy. We've seen the traditional Latin Rite. We know what good liturgy looks like. We know what types of liturgies have made the saints. We know that. So we know that the Novus Ordo is deficient in a lot of ways. And so what we try to do is we try to put some hot sauce on it. We try to hook it up. We try to make it better. And it always comes off sloppy and bad and not helpful at all. But that's what the priests are trying to do. They know the Novus Ordo Mass isn't as beautiful as reverence as the masses that are ordered in it, right? It's a legitimate rite, right? It has a legitimate consecration, right? There's nothing about the Mass that stops Jesus from coming. But there are a lot of things about the Masses that we see from Red Bag Father Steve and all of the other priests from the Mass Nightmare series that do make the people stop coming. Jesus keeps coming to the Novus Ordo, but there's something about it that makes the people stop coming. And that is the source of the vision. And that's what we really have to focus on and figure out, how can we reform the Novus Ordo so that it's not the source of the vision that it is. And I say again, bring back the altar rails, make it ad orientem, restore the people bowing their heads in the sacred name of Jesus. Just those three things, just for starters, will go a long way to not only having a Novus Ordo, a place that Jesus comes, but also a place where the people want to come, a place for their salvation. All right. So I think that's all I know about that. I gotta get to work. I gotta go sell some things here, so my household doesn't become a source of division because I don't have income. but let's say, put a few of your comments up here, and then we'll get out here. Cornelius, if he wants to do this type of instruction, he would do it in a hall, not in the mass. Right. There's nothing wrong with demonstrations outside the mass. Felix the Cat had a bag of tricks. Father Steve's had a red bag of weird stuff. Yeah. Father Steve is a scary guy. Scary guy. Morning coffee and breakfast with David. Yeah. Don't forget your donuts. Don't forget your donuts and your bourbon. And your coffee. Add a little bit of bourbon to your coffee. A little bit of bourbon, if your body can handle it, right? Because bourbon has ellagic acids, and so you want to have at least 5 shots a week, right? Just, it helps your body. Has some vitamins in there, some antioxidants that can keep you going. Especially during these times, you got strange viruses just floating around. Pour a little bit of bourbon in that coffee, Kyle. That's what I do. This is definitely a sign of the mental problem, narcissism. Even Episcopalians have altar rails in their churches. Yeah, Sandra, I think you said it all with that. That was great. Just a little bit of coffee. A little bit of coffee in your bourbon. You're going too far, Christopher. That's pretty good, though. That'd be more than one shot. I only recommend one shot. Anything other than that, you're just entertaining yourself. All right. That's all I know about that. I'll see you guys tomorrow. Father Kirby will be on the show tomorrow. He'll be here talking about a new book that he has published by Tan called Sanctify Them in Truth. But that's all I know about that for now.
Hey, thanks for watching the video. I'm looking forward to your comments below. Hey, I'll be speaking at the Finding Hope in the Desert conference. Finding Hope in the Desert is a conference being put on by the Coalition for Cancel Priests. It's on June 24th in Beloit, Wisconsin. And I'll be speaking with Father James Allman, Michael Hishborn, Dr. Peter Kanuski, Jesse Romero, Stella Moore, Dr. Janet Smith, Father John Lovell, and others. And, you know, oftentimes my speaking engagements are for like private meetings and like members only. So whenever I get a chance to speak at an open conference, I get excited because I get to invite all of you who follow me there. So come out, check your calendar and see if you can gather with us to rally support for cancer priests and what the coalition is building. For more information, visit cancelpriests.org. That's cancelpriests.org. And if you'd like me to come to your conference or meeting or retreat and speak, look me up at CatholicSpeakers.com. That is CatholicSpeakers.com. I would love to come see you and gather with you and to talk about the most important things. But until then, and until next time, remember, get to Mass and confession as often as possible and live your life like salvation matters. And may the blessings of our Lord Jesus Christ and his peace be upon you and yours. Thank you.